story. The world has many creation stories. In one version, familiar to at least three religious traditions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, there is an iconic moment in the human religious imagination. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. So what is our creation story? In the last 10 years, physicists and astronomers have developed a detailed picture of how the universe began nearly 14 billion years ago. If we view our lives as at some measure a search for truth and meaning, these recent leaps in understanding of our beginnings are both wonderful and reassuring. And yet, pervading even the most astonishing scientific advances, there is still mystery. One mystery is that science's explanation of the origin of the universe has much in common with Chinese Taoism. Tao is the ultimate force of creation. Through it, nothingness gave rise to existence. Existence gave rise to yin and yang, and yin and yang gave rise to everything else. So today we take a journey back in time to the beginning of everything. Get comfortable, sit back and relax. I'm going to tell you a story. The most basic building blocks of the universe are infinitesimally small vibrating strings of energy that physicists call strings. And we can understand vibrating strings from our ordinary experience with the piano. We hear vibration of strings in a cello, a violin, and the piano, but even the best musician can't do much with only one vibrating string. But bring a multitude of vibrating strings of different lengths and with different resonances, and they can be organized into a simple tune. And even into a complex symphony. Thank you, Nathan. The strings that form everything in our universe vibrate at different frequencies to create all of the types of energy and matter that we know. Just as music is based on a limited number of notes, a scale that's used over and over, there are just 20 key values that shape the universe and our experience. If the vibrating strings for just one of these values were tuned to a different frequency, just one, it would change everything, and life as we know it would not exist. For example, reduce the power of the strong force that holds neutrons and protons together in the nucleus of the atom, and the sun's density would diminish, and the sun would break apart, and there would no longer be life on Earth. The same is true of the other basic forces that are in the universe, the so-called weak force that governs the rate of radioactive decay, the more familiar force of gravity, and the force of electromagnetism. All of these critical values are determined by strings of energy vibrating at a particular frequency. Change one frequency and poof, no more Earth. Most of these uncounted trillions of strings measure less than a tiny part of a centimeter, a decimal point followed by 33 zeros and a one. Very small. Very small, yet this invisible, minuscule strand of energy, if transformed into matter, would have mass equal to a mote of dust, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it's quite disproportionate to its size. And that's because a string vibrates with a tension that can be measured in tons. So many tons, that the number of tons is a 10 followed by 39 zeros. I can't even say what that number is. That much tension in this tiny invisible vibrating string. Think of it, it's even more than has been generated during this presidential election. You think of this tiny string having, through the intensity of its vibration, the power of an elephant, the intensity that means that a string has enormous energy for its size, enough energy from one tiny vibrating string that is the equivalent of 10,100 watt electric bulbs. And all of this energy from something so small that not only can't we see, we can't see it, but we can't even detect its existence. This is all theoretical. Scientists can only infer the existence of these strings from the math that explains the physical laws of the universe. Sounds miraculous so far, doesn't it? Well, just hold on to your seats. Because these invisible vibrating strands of energy were present at the very beginning of our universe, before the beginning of time. So imagine moment zero. Zero. Nothing is out there. In much the same way that an eggshell holds the embryo of a chicken, there were 10 dimensions of space curled up so small that a string could be wound around them, one of these tiny vibrating strings. And in the first second of time, something happened, something that we often call the Big Bang, but it was really more like a puffing up, not so much an explosion as an expansion, the way that a balloon expands partway when you blow a little bit of air into it. For reasons that physicists are only just beginning to understand, of the 10 dimensions that were wrapped with strings in the embryo universe, only 3 of those dimensions inflated. Left, right, back, forth, and up, down, those 3 familiar dimensions that we know and use in our everyday life. Only 3 strings, 3 types of strings, dimensions unfolded. It's because these 3 dimensions inflated and not the 7 others that our universe looks the way it does. The other dimensions, apparently, are still there, but they're still curled up, they're still wrapped with strings. I think this is a true story. A balloon starts to inflate. It can be difficult to blow in that first breath of air. Has anyone had that initial trouble when you feel like your head is going to explode, and then the air finally comes in? And that's what happened in the early universe. The initial expansion was comparatively slow, but once the balloon is partly expanded, then it becomes much easier for it to continue to expand. It's much easier to blow into that balloon. And the balloon begins to inflate rapidly. And so that's what happened to the universe, and physicists call this inflation. Just like a balloon. And it only lasted a trillionth of a second. But the rate of expansion was greater at that point than the combined total has been ever since. Expansion continues, but at a slower pace. That inflation happened before the end of the first second of our universe's existence. Two other things happen in that first second. Two phase transitions. So a phase transition is when ice melts and becomes water, or when water freezes and becomes ice. It changes from one sort of thing to another, but it's still made of the same basic stuff. And so as the universe expanded, it also cooled. And that's when the strings began vibrating at different frequencies. As a result, these four basic forces separated out and became identifiable as what scientists call gravity, electromagnetism, the strong force and the weak force, and the strings vibrating at different frequencies vibrated themselves into quarks and other tiny particles that formed into protons and neutrons and electrons, which are the three building blocks of matter, all in the first second. Now, in Taoist terms, the universe went from nothingness to existence, and with the different frequencies of vibration, existence gave rise to yin and yang. Beginning with the next second, the beginning of the second second, that's right, the second second of the universe's existence, and continuing for three entire minutes, yin and yang dominate the universe as those four forces interact. Yin 1 and yin 2, yang 1 and yang 2. And after 3 minutes of this yin-yang tug of war, the force of gravity makes protons and neutrons clump together to form the first nuclei. Now, these clumps aren't actually atoms because the electrons aren't attached yet. And the protons and neutrons, as they cling to one another, electrons zip furiously around, zinging from one place to another in a chaotic mass of matter. This is the situation for the next 380,000 years as the universe continues to expand and cool. Now, the proton-neutron clumps have a positive electric charge, and those freely moving electrons zipping around have a negative charge. And so during this time, there is no light, no light at all. The smallest unit of light, the photon, is attracted to electrically charged objects, which is mainly what the universe contains. And so the hapless little photons may bounce erratically around among the positive nuclei and the negative electrons, but they're absorbed and released. They're unable to travel in straight lines, making the universe opaque like a roiling cloud of fog. And this goes on for 380,000 years as the expanding universe cools. And finally, it cools enough that the positive nuclei are suddenly able to hold on to the negative electrons. Suddenly, those electrons hook up with those protons and neutrons, and the atoms, the first real atoms, are formed. But what that means, these mostly hydrogen atoms, what that means is that these clumps of matter are stable. They don't have an electric charge. And that means that those frantic little photons, which previously were trapped in that fog of early matter, for the first time, they can travel in a straight line. And they do. They escape in a sudden burst of light. So we have a picture of the universe at 380,000 years. And it's almost as if someone said, "Let there be light." And there was light. This is a real picture of the universe. It's not like an invented, this is maybe what it looked like. This actually was created by scientists from the microwave radiation that fills the universe. They were able to figure out how to screen out everything else. And this is what the universe looked like as a baby. Yes, this is a baby picture of the universe. The dark blue areas are empty. The red-orange areas show clumps of matter that later developed into galaxies. And so if you take this image and factor in the expansion of the universe over time, the result is a picture of the universe as we know it today. So this photograph really checks out. It is a reliable picture of the baby universe. It's a picture of that first sudden burst of light. This is amazing. And it doesn't stop with this, because as the universe expands and those clumps of matter developed into galaxies, it's as if the universe, the entire universe, is a huge engine that churns out the building blocks of life. So hydrogen emerged in the Big Bang. It was the first thing. And dense masses of hydrogen sank close together, drawn together by gravity, until compression begins turning the hydrogen into helium. And as it compresses and the hydrogen turns to helium, photons escape, making light. And that, my friends, is a star. Imagine those hydrogen atoms growing closer and closer together until suddenly there is ignition. A star is born. And this star, all of the stars, cook away, changing hydrogen into helium until all of the hydrogen has been transformed, and then the star goes to work on the helium. And the compression and the heat in the core of the star turn the helium into atoms that are the necessary building blocks of life. Carbon, the birth of stars from the clouds of hydrogen gas. That's all right, just stay right there. Carbon and oxygen and nitrogen and a few others. Finally, there's nothing left in the star except iron. A handful of key elements for life have been flung off, and the star is like a slag heap of iron. But it isn't cold. Iron is heavy, and the star compresses even more and gets hotter and hotter and hotter until its temperatures rise beyond anything that has been known before. And then it explodes. It explodes into a supernova. And the heat of this explosion transforms iron into the myriad of all the other elements that are found in the crust of our Earth, all of the elements that are necessary for life. So from its first ignition to that final explosion of light, a star throws off all of the elements found in the universe, all of the basic building blocks of life, everything that's necessary for a planet to arise, a planet to form, and on it for life to arise. Yin and yang gave rise to everything else. Now, physicists have been able to photograph and measure this life-generating process in thousands of galaxies around us. Nearly all of them contain stars that are generating the building blocks and elements of life. And so this is a picture of the Eagle Nebula. And in the next picture, the Cone Nebula, we see pillars that are the birthplace of stars, where clouds of hydrogen gas are coalescing through the force of gravity into masses that are dense enough and hot enough to crush the hydrogen into helium and release light. So this process that started when the universe was only 380,000 years old. This process is still going on today, even as the universe continues to expand. And in each of these ongoing cosmic factories, let's have the next slide, those stars are yielding the building blocks of life. Helium to carbon to oxygen, everything that's necessary so that we can exist. Even our own sun, which today is compressing hydrogen into helium and in the process bathing us in the light that is essential to our existence, will one day exhaust its stores of hydrogen and begin turning its helium into carbon and oxygen and nitrogen, finally ending in a supernova that flings the other building blocks of life into the rest of the universe to use in the construction of more planets that will also have life. So all of us today, everything that we are, will one day be flung outward millions of years from now, and we will regenerate the life that we see around us now. So in this next photo of the Great Orion Nebula, you can see the red light, which shows emissions of nitrogen, the green light is hydrogen, and the blue light is oxygen. The miracle and the mystery of the origin of the universe continues every moment across the entire universe. Stars explode and fling out the materials that are necessary for life. So, although this history of the universe is backed up with an amazing array of scientific observations, the one thing that it does not explain is where the universe came from. So Chinese Taoism says that the Tao is the first force of creation, and through it, nothingness gave rise to existence. Is this another way of saying, in the beginning was in the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God? Tiny vibrating strings wrapped around 10 dimensions, and only 3 of them expand. Why? Where did the strings come from? Where did the dimensions come from? From the Tao? From God? But where did the Tao come from? Where did God come from? Another mystery, the expansion of the universe with the exact frequency of vibrations that created those 4 necessary forces and the tiny particles that became everything. And from those flecks of nothing came life. Humanity is born from flecks of space. It took billions of years, a duration so vast that even stardust can rise to life and rise to love. It took huge amounts of stellar activity merely to create these bits and pieces that came together to form life. Those flecks of space allow us to exist. They allow us to think. They allow us to ask, why are we here? This is a miracle. Some of us may define a miracle as something supernatural, something that came from God. Others may simply celebrate the mystery of life entirely within the miracle of the natural. But whatever definition of miracle, the creation story that brought life to Earth from those tiny vibrating strings, that's a miracle. And the miracle continues. The story continues. We are now part of the miracle. We, the people on this wayward floating planet, we have the power to create a better life for all human beings on this planet. If we hold on to the best of ourselves, during the next few days and weeks and months, no matter what the results of the election. We can foresee many challenges. But no matter how great those challenges may be, they are small in comparison to the miracle of life that brought us to this moment. So hold on to that sense of miracle. What we do, and even more, the kind of people we are, will make a difference in the story of the universe. Bring to every day the sense of mystery, the sense of miracle, the sense of possibility. And keep on vibrating with love and hope and compassion, because that's how we can shape the world. That's our creation story.